First of all, good morning to all of you online and the handful that are here. It's so good to be with you this morning. I want to express gratitude and appreciation for all the prayers and all the words of encouragement that I've received during this bit of a challenging time in terms of my health. I am feeling stronger and on the road to improving health, so that's good. But again, I was reminded yet again, life is a gift. Life is worth celebrating each and every day, even the hard days. So let's celebrate life together. So we're going to get into part two of our Advent series, Just Christmas. And I'm going to start off with a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a pastor at World War II. He was arrested and imprisoned and later killed by the Nazis. But he wrote this about Advent and said this: Advent is like sitting in a prison cell. One cannot do anything except hope, pray, and wait. And then this: deliverance must come from the outside. And now we are going to read a passage for today about that outside deliverance. So let's look at Luke 2 together. Luke 2, the verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning about what had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Luke's narrative invites a calm, slow telling, really. It starts off with, "And it came to pass in those days." And he assures us that Jesus' birth marks God's entry into the long flow of human history, into the good, into the bad, and everything in between. We notice that God shares this good news through his angels. We see an angel talk to Mary. We see an angel talking to Joseph, and we see these angels telling the shepherds. God delivers his good news to the lowly, to those living in tough times. And so today I want to take a little bit of a closer look at the shepherds in this story. I want to look at this for a moment here. In Scripture, there's lots of stories that involve shepherds. We can go all the way back to Abraham, 2,000 years before Christ, and he's a herdsman. He has flocks. He's a shepherd. We see that with Isaac and Jacob as well. These are what we call the patriarch, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the founders of the faith. They're shepherds. And we move on to Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. The one that I think is most well known is Joseph, the multicolored coat, the one who interpreted dreams, sold by his brothers into slavery. And he ends up becoming second in command of all of Egypt. Eventually, Israel ends up in Egypt in a land called Goshen. And I put one verse down here. I took it out of the message that describes this. And Joseph is telling his brothers what to say when they're going to meet Pharaoh, the most powerful man of the world. And we read this: "When Pharaoh calls you in and asks you what kind of work you do, tell him, 'Your servants have always kept livestock for as long as we can remember, and we and our parents also.' That way, he'll let you stay apart in an area of Goshen. For Egyptians look down on anyone who is a shepherd." And we see something, a bit of a trend start here. Looking down on shepherds. This is often, shepherds were nomads. They wandered around, letting their flocks graze on farmland, and the farmers didn't like that very much. So there's something happening here. But Israel ends up being 400 years in slavery in a land where they are shepherds, in a culture which looks down on shepherds. And that has some influence on the mindset of Israel. They are, like all of us, affected by the culture they live in. We'll keep moving forward here. We go to the first king, Saul. He blows it. He doesn't do a very good job. God wants to replace him with a new king. The prophet Samuel is called to look for a new king that God has chosen and anoint that new king. They go to a household of a guy named Jesse. He has a whole whack of sons, big, strapping, strong guys. None of them are chosen by God to be that king. And so he asks, are there any others? And they said, well, yeah, there's one more. It's our youngest son, and he's young, and he's a shepherd, and his name is David. But, you know, that can't be right. We can't have that happen. And we see God do the upside-down thing here. Here, the youngest, and who is a shepherd, which was often the case for the youngest, becomes king of Israel. The one who writes Psalm 23, verse 1, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. That man becomes king, a shepherd. Now, fast forward to this time of Jesus. This process of looking down on shepherds has continued. I read in one commentary, I read this. While shepherds could be romanticized, as was King David, they were usually ranked with donkey drivers, tanners, sailors, butchers, camel drivers, and other despised occupations. Being away from home at night, they were unable to protect their women, hence considered dishonorable. In addition, they were often considered thieves because they grazed their flocks on other people's property. They were seen as people to be avoided. They were seen as a public nuisance. In this time, we have rabbis arguing, how could David, King David, a man after God's own heart, how could he call God a good shepherd? The leaders in this day, they said, don't buy from shepherds because it's likely stolen property. They also said, if you walk by, you're walking along and you see a shepherd who has fallen in a pit, you don't have to help. You can see shepherds aren't looked upon favorably. It's almost saying like shepherd lives don't matter. Nobody was standing up for them. And the leaders had their reasons. They always do. God had given Israel the law. God had wanted his people to know what it is to be purified and cleansed. There was lots of rituals and sacrifices. There was the Sabbath. So you better stay away from what is unclean, and you better stay away from whoever is unclean so they don't mess you up. And these shepherds were unclean. They didn't go to the temple regularly to sacrifice for their impurities. They really couldn't. God said, keep the Sabbath holy, but these people just kept working. Apparently, sheep needed care and watching, even on the Sabbath. And these shepherds were often out in the fields, away from people, away from the temple, away from the cleansing rituals, not able to sacrifice, not able to be purified. Ironically, they are the ones who provide the lambs and the sheep for the sacrifice so that Israel could practice their purification laws and rituals. These are the shepherds that we read about here in Luke 2. Really, the shepherds are the outcast. They are the ones who don't belong. They are the ones who don't fit in. Made me think, so who are our outcast? The homeless? The addicts? Those who don't think like us, those who don't live like us, look like us, behave like us, who are the outcast for us? You know, if David had written Psalm 23 today, maybe he would have written, the Lord is my outcast, the one who hangs out with other outcasts, right? How do we take this gospel story that includes the lowly, that includes the outcast, the ones who don't belong, who aren't important or powerful? What does this story say to us? Because we read here, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. To them. This has huge implications. I'm sure many of you have set up your manger scenes. This has huge implications on how you look at that manger scene. Right? I mean, there's a barn or a stable scene, so it's not a temple, it's not a palace. There's a pregnant teenage girl involved. There's a bunch of nobody shepherds. Society's outcast. And then the wise men are there too, so we have a bunch of foreigners as well. The angel comes to them. To the shepherds in the fields. And it's cold and it's dark. The angel joined them in their space, in the fields, not at the temple, not at the palace, not avoiding them because of their uncleanness, entering their world with the good news, with the news of peace and goodwill, a royal proclamation that Christ and his kingdom has come. Given not to the kings, not to the religious leaders, not to Caesar, the most powerful man in the world, to lowly nobodies. I was thinking if it was up to Caesar, the tables of the powerful would never be overturned. When Caesar hears about the good news of the gospel, he only knows to crush it, to crucify it. Yet on these Palestinian hills, we hear the royal proclamation of a new reality, where peace comes not from armies, but from justice, where sin withers in the face of truth, where all are invited to the table, and all are invited to belong, where love conquers fear. And the angels say, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. All the people, including the shepherds, including all the outcasts, including all the people who don't feel like they belong. Yes, the angel army breaks forth in proclamation and in praise of the King of Kings, whose peace he brings, whose kingdom has come and is coming. And they say, fear not, for this kingdom and this king is for all people. He longs for all to know him. And these shepherds respond. They respond, not with lots of questions, but with a desire to experience what has been told to them by the angels. You know, sometimes when you're up to your neck in struggle and problems and pain and hurt, sometimes we have a lot of questions. I think mostly why questions. And maybe these shepherds who didn't have the easiest life in the world, maybe these shepherds had a lot of questions too. But for now, and I love this, for now they simply move forward. They simply move to go and see, holding on to the promise of the Christ child that has come into the darkness with us, and therefore the world is not the same. You know, and we celebrate that coming at Christmas, but you know, it still can seem like a pretty dark world sometimes, right? We've got the pandemic, struggles with relationships, polarization in society, addiction, pollution, deception, war, racism, loneliness, health issues, and you can go on and on. But the light shines in the dark places, and it shows up best there. Made me think of John's telling of the gospel, and he starts it off this way in John 1, the verses 4 to 5, where we read, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light, and here we go, of all mankind. All. The light shines in the darkness, whatever that darkness may be, and the darkness has not and cannot overcome it. In that dark night where the shepherds were, a great light was shone. And these shepherds go to Bethlehem in order to see more, in order to, dare I say, be enlightened. And they come as they are. No clean clothes, not a quick shower, no cleansed hearts, no ritual purification. They didn't clean up their act, or they didn't improve their reputations. They just come as they are. In Romans 5, 8, we read, that sort of fits this, what I'm trying to say here, where it says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ was born and Christ died for us. While we were sinners, we didn't clean it ourselves up at all. And so, really, the truth is, we all come as outcasts, all of us. We all come broken. We all come as sinners. And then here's a beautiful picture. These broken, messy shepherds, they come, and what do they see? They see a baby. I mean, talk about non-threatening. Talk about God fitting in with us. The shepherds see one who is like them and with them, and yet somehow the Messiah of the world. One who relates to us because he's one of us. He joins the outcast. And then those shepherds who, by the way, were not allowed to testify in court because their testimony would be considered untrustworthy. They are invited to see that the deliverer was like them. They are allowed to worship him. And then here's the irony. Look at verse 17 and 18 of that chapter of Luke's gospel. It says, when they had seen him, we read in verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They, who were not allowed to be witnesses in a court of law, are invited by God to become the first witnesses of his grand story of redemption and salvation. And these shepherds tell everyone they meet, prompting amazement. People are thinking, you know, these outcasts, they act like they belong. Because they do. They receive the good news that God has come to them in their lives to bring hope and joy and peace and restoration. This is such a strong theme in the gospel. It's interesting to me that later in Luke writes about Jesus thanking God for something. And look at it with me, Luke 10. It says, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things, this is gospel good news, from the wise and the learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. And then we jump ahead again in Luke. In Luke 18, Jesus says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Like one who has no power. Like one who's not particularly in charge. In the simplicity of surrender and acceptance, they come childlike in sense. You know, I love how Mary, you know, when she first hears the news of her miraculous pregnancy, she says, how can this be? And it's a great question. How can this be? But soon after she says, very soon after, she says, let it be. Let it be. Has she figured it all out yet? No. But we go from questions, which is fine. I don't mind that we all have questions sometimes. But we go from questions to surrender. To surrender. Knowing that we don't often know. You know, I think sometimes we try to be way too smart. And we're not. We're just kids. And our Father knows best. These shepherds, they leave changed by what they had experienced and witnessed, and thus became a witness for others. Let me encourage you, be a witness out of that same place. The angels go back from where they came, right back to heaven. And the shepherds then go forth. They didn't just stop at the manger and say, oh, what a wonderful story. Somehow it sends them out. Jesus has come. And then we surrender to that, his coming, to his presence, to what he brings us. And then we witness to the good news. We experience in him. I mean, these are the first people that God invites to become his witnesses, these outcasts. You know, maybe you feel like you have nothing to offer in sharing the good news. And I want to encourage you, God just calls you to be you. That's all. And then to experience him in his presence. And then live that out. And live that out in words, and live that out in deeds, and in prayers. I mean, maybe your small contributions are encouraging notes, or texts, or you call somebody, or you're there for them, or you help them out when they're struggling a bit, maybe financially. Somehow there's all kinds of ways to be and bring good news. Let me encourage you, God will use that. He will use you to bring his good news to all people. Not you particularly. You're going to rub shoulders with some people. I don't mean rub shoulders literally, not in this time of COVID. But anyways, let me ask you this question. Is there an outcast that you know of? Someone who feels like they don't belong. We all feel like outcasts sometimes. We have, our kids in Winnipeg had a rough time recently where a loved one, someone close, passed away due to a fentanyl overdose. I was watching the news the other day, and there was this First Nations man from Prince George, and he made it a point to regularly come from Prince George into Vancouver to wander the streets and the back alleys, and he said, and these are his words, looking for his people of his tribe. I don't remember what tribe it was, but he went specifically to look for his people. And his mission was this. We want our people to know that his people are looking for them. And he found a young man from their tribe, and he convinced him to come back with him, and he got into treatment, and they had him on the news, and he was 8 months sober. And it just struck me that we all want to be told that our people are looking for us. That's the church. Our people are looking for us. Somehow, and for that young man, it made such a difference. And I think it makes a difference in all of our lives when we know there's someone looking for us. And you and I just need to tell someone that the light has shone in your life and it can shine in theirs too. We belong. Because Jesus has come to us as we are, and we need to tell others, you belong. As you are. You know, I read a quote recently. It said, grace is like water. It flows downhill and pools up in the lowest places. Yeah. Grace is like water, it flows downhill and it pools in the lowest places. And I've asked you, where's your lowest places? Because that's where grace is showing up. And then go ahead and come to that manger. Take a look. Look deeply there. Look with all your questions and all your doubts. Look with all your brokenness and all your messiness. Go and see the one who has come and is like you. The one who has stepped into the mess, who has stepped into being an outcast with the rest of us. Because he longs to bring you life, life in all its fullness as he describes it. You know, these shepherds, Then they went. And then they saw, and I picture these shepherds, I wonder how they felt. They saw Jesus, the Lamb of God. The Lamb that would be sacrificed to bring them actual and permanent purification. The one who will cleanse them and give them the wholeness they long for. I'd just like to finish off with reading Revelation 7:17. We sang a little bit about it at 1:2, where John writes, and you picture this, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And you picture that, think about that. The Lamb, one of the flock, young, is somehow the shepherd. That sounds crazy. One who is like us is our shepherd. And he will lead them where? To springs of living water. What a beautiful image, particularly if you're a shepherd. You will get the drink you need. And then this, and God will wipe every tear from your eyes, from their eyes. Together we walk in that light, in the light of Jesus. Knowing we are cleansed, no matter how messy. Knowing he gives us living water. And we are no longer outcasts. We belong with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, now and forever. And we need to go in his name and share that good news. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you humbled. Lord, a lot of us have areas of our lives that are hard. There's struggles, physical struggles, mental struggles, financial struggles, possibly addiction issues, struggling with all kinds of things, Lord. And yet, somehow, you come to us where we are, and you're with us there. And you bring us hope, and you bring us joy, and you bring us peace. And even though we don't always feel it, we know it's there because you're there with us. And Lord, I just praise you that you became an outcast with each of us so that we could know we belong. Lord, may we share that good news in all kinds of ways. In all kinds of ways, with encouragement and with supporting people in a variety of ways. But will you use us to witness to the good news that Jesus is Lord, and the Lamb leads. We pray this in your name alone.